What do you say we interview you?
All right, yes, that's a sometimes useful exercise.
Please put your hand down.
Go ahead.
How much money do you make a year before taxes?
Okay, I'm actually not comfortable answering that.
Come on!
We're doing the interview now, not you.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sloan Fuller, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Career Chat. Dr. David Rosenthal teaches marketing at Miami University. He has won numerous teaching awards and is a dedicated advocate for job seekers. He has been working with recruiters and career services for many years. This is the final episode in our series of conversations with Dr. Rosenthal. In this episode, Dr. Rosenthal targets students and elaborates on the keys to creating an effective resume to intrigue employers and get an interview.
First of all, you have to understand that a resume has a purpose, and its purpose is very simple. Your resume is to get you an interview. It's to open the door so that you can sit down face to face and make your case in front of another human being as to why you should be hired versus somebody else. That's all the resume is supposed to do. It's not going to get you a job. It's not going to make you famous. Its purpose is to intrigue the other person who is reading it. Now, there's an analogy that fits here. A resume is like a swimsuit. It's not supposed to cover everything. It's not supposed to expose everything. It's only supposed to fit you. It's supposed to make the person who is looking at it want to talk with you. It's supposed to be colorful. It's supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be a reflection of you, and it gets bigger as you get older. The most important thing about the resume is content. It's not glitz. It's not the font. It's not the color. It's not the creative way that you cause the person to have to spin the thing in a circle because you have a concentric line of data circling out from the middle. It's not supposed to have pretty little icons and pretty lines and whirligigs all over it. None of that makes any difference. As long as it looks reasonably nice and it's uncluttered and there are no errors, let me repeat that, no errors anywhere, no misspellings, no punctuation, no grammatical errors, and that it's consistent, as long as it has those basic characteristics, that's about as exciting as it gets. It's content, folks. Now, that being said, the best way to develop a good resume is to develop a good life. Build your resume starting from the very beginning. If you come to me as a junior and say, I've given no thought to this and I've done absolutely nothing in my life up to this point, I'm going to say to you, good, this is going to be really fun. And as a farm worker, you're going to be a really excellent employee. Instead, you need to start, as a first-year student, you need to start by building your resume. First of all, there are three things that people look for on a resume. They look for evidence of academic quality. Sorry, that basically means grades. So yes, grades are important to an extent. They're not the end-all and be-all. Don't go out and start doing evil things to people or yourself in order to get grades. And don't argue over points with your professors. Just do a decent job. So grades are important. They're not everything. The second thing that they look for is evidence of activity. They want somebody who's a doer. They want somebody who can show that they've accomplished something. Usually that means something in student organizations or in some sort of extracurricular activity. My rule of thumb is that you need two, not just one. So a student organization and maybe a part-time job. Or if you're a student athlete, you can get by with just one, particularly if you're on a varsity sport, but even a club sport would be just fine. Or if you have to work for a living, as I did, I had to work my entire way through school. That's fine. They understand that. So show the amount of work that you have done, that you have been employed, and that you work 10 or 15 or 20 hours a week. any combination of those to demonstrate your skills, your abilities, the accomplishments that you have made. Those are the things that you want to show. And people are very much interested in that because they don't want to hire someone who's a couch potato. Thirdly, they're looking for experience. Ideally, they'd want you to be vice president of whatever the skill is or the job that you're looking for. Realistically, they're not expecting you to have been the vice president of marketing or the vice president of sales. They're expecting that you've had some related experience. But even if it's not related, if your only job has been, and please, I'm not saying bad things about lifeguards, they do an important job, but if you've been a lifeguard or if you've been a caddy or if you've worked at the mall, those things are all fine. And those things need to be included because they will understand that you had to work at those kinds of jobs. But by the time you get to be a junior, you should be thinking in terms of what specific types of internships and what specific types of positions could I add to my resume that are going to beef up my opportunities and set me apart from others. So look for the best opportunities that you can in terms of internships. So those three things are what people look for on a resume. Again, academic excellence, experience, and activity. If you have other things that set you apart, make sure that you get them on there. So if you speak a foreign language, if you have an unusual skill, put it in there. Make sure that it points out the fact that you are different than other people. The way that you express these things is important because it shows how well you communicate. Tie your experiences, the things that you can say, I did, and make sure that those reflect or lead into the skills and abilities that the company is looking for. Tailor your resume so that it reflects what the company says it's looking for. If the company says they want someone who is a good communicator, show how well you communicate. If they say that they want someone who has analytical skill, show the analytical types of activities or projects that you have worked on. Don't be bashful about using the projects that you've worked on in class or the projects that you have worked on during the summer or your volunteer work in order to show those kinds of skills and abilities. Relate to your audience's needs. In saying that, I want to say that there, I think, is a need for two different types of resumes in this day and age. Some resumes are going to be handed to a human being, and the human being is going to read it and is going to evaluate you based upon the content of that resume. If you're going to be handing your resume to a human being, you want that resume to be one page. You want it to be as few words as you can get on there and still keep the meaning. You want it to show the high points and intrigue that person, but you don't want to overload it because human beings read a lot of resumes and it will be easy for them to become overwhelmed. On the other hand, if you're going to be submitting your resume online, then understand that recruiting companies who look at online resumes are often using computer algorithms to recognize words. They are looking for specific words and specific content that indicate that you match up to their ideal person. Under those circumstances, go to their website, find out whatever words that they are using in their job descriptions, and find as many synonyms as you can, put them all over your resume, and let the computers pick you out and say, hey, this person has a score of 187. It's the highest thing we ever saw. Of course, if a real human being were to read it, they would never hire you, but the computer may spit you out and give you a better opportunity. The key to an effective resume is content, and you do that by leading a good life.
Thank you for joining us today on Career Chat, brought to you by Miami University Career Services.